You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, right here for the Locked On LSU podcast brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. Where exactly does LSU baseball stand in the eyes of the committee? And we'll hear from Skip Bertman about the Hold the Rope documentary. That's all coming up. But when there's news about Eric Gilbert, we're going to talk about it. Of course, a quick recap. Gilbert, the highest-rated tight end in the history of 247 Sports, spent the majority of his freshman year at LSU in 2020. He opted out before the Florida game, committed to Florida, then decommitted, never signed or enrolled. So basically, wherever he goes next and with the immediate eligibility rule, Gilbert will be eligible immediately at his next school, which very well could be LSU. Of course, Ed Ogeron said that he met with Eric over the summer and they tried to lay out a path for him to come back. Shea Dixon at Go247 has an update today that perhaps it's leaning toward maybe Gilbert ending up back at LSU. And for what it's worth, Rivals is reporting that the path could be there at LSU, but who really knows with Gilbert, and that Georgia and Tennessee could very well be landing spots. What I will remind you of is this. When Gilbert opted out, just as a quick recap, when Gilbert opted out, of course, Ed Ogeron said that Gilbert's body hurt. And Ed Ogeron was covering for the player, and I totally respect that. The problem is the excuse he gave was bogus and only did more harm to Gilbert because it made him look soft. Ogeron then came back and said he was dealing with personal matters, which was actually the case. I don't feel like I am at liberty to disclose much more than that. If and when Eric Gilbert or anyone associated with Gilbert or LSU wants to disclose that, they can do that. But what I'm confident in saying is that Eric Gilbert had a personal issue happen that I could totally understand him wanting to be closer to home and his family wanting him closer to home in Georgia if that were the case. Now, as I understand it, LSU has laid out a series of criteria that would allow Gilbert back within the program. Some academic, some personal. All of it would be really good for the young man if he were able to stay true to those guidelines and to those rules set in place for him. Now, maybe the answer to that is a no. But what I do know is that if Eric Gilbert is back at LSU on the field, it's a major win. When you're talking about losing guys like Terrace Marshall and Racy McMath and guys who were really good offensive players for you a year ago, and now you've got a new starting quarterback. And let's be honest, if it's Max Johnson or Miles Brennan, those two have combined for five career starts. Either way, someone is going to be a full-time starter for the first time in their career this football season. And yes, Kayshon Boutte is magnificent, and we love to see Coy Moore emerge. But if you have a guy like Eric Gilbert, he tilts the field because he's a mismatch on linebackers and safeties. So, yes, I would love that security blanket of a 6'5", 250-pound tight end who's an Adonis running over the middle catching passes in this offense. I would absolutely welcome Eric Gilbert back, and it would be a massive win on the field if they can make it happen. Now, LSU did report to campus this week. The football team did to begin offseason workouts. Gilbert was not among the players that reported, so we continue to wait on a final answer on what will happen with Eric Gilbert, but LSU seems to be clearly in the mix, and as something develops, we'll certainly keep you posted. It is the Locked On LSU podcast, brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Remember, whatever part you need bumper to bumper on any make and model, they've got it, rockauto.com, and they have been selling parts online for 20 years now. They are a family-owned business. Why inconvenience yourself running out to the big box store, hoping they have your part in stock, overpaying for it, when you could get on your mobile device or your desktop, log on to rockauto.com, find the part you're looking for at a discounted price, and have it shipped right to your door. If you're a classic driver or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door from Rock Auto. Make sure when you get to checkout, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you to Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So we know the baseball Tigers bowed out early after one game at the SEC tournament, but what does this mean for their regional hopes? I had a chance to visit with Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball. Of course, Alabama has already won two games in Hoover, including a win over Tennessee. So I started by asking Kendall, is this an either-or proposition? Will the committee consider either LSU or Bama, or is it possible that both could get in?
I think they can both get in. I think it all boils down to the other bubble teams out there. And the one thing that does help both of these teams, and certainly LSU, is the fact that I just don't think the bubble is very good right now. Like, they're just not very many options. So unless the committee is going to throw us a ton of curveballs, there aren't a lot of great options. Now, with that said, if you have five or six stolen bids, then all of a sudden your options are pretty good. But until that time comes, you kind of have to go with what the current situation is. And the current situation is it's just not a very deep bubble. We'll see if that continues.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about bid stealers in a minute, but let's focus on LSU for a second. So with Monday's projected field of 64 that you all put out at D1 Baseball, you had LSU not only in, but they weren't even among the last five in. So how firmly in do you feel LSU was on Monday, and where are they today?
Yeah, I didn't really think there was a question on Monday. I think with that loss, though, and I get it, you know, Paul made the comment that, hey, one game shouldn't determine your season, but the fact of the matter is, for a lot of teams this time of year, it does determine your season. So he knows that, and, you know, with that loss, they're probably in that 60 to 62 range. If you're going an RPI ladder, 60 to 64, and then 65, 69, they're probably 61 or 62 right now. So, I mean, if you're LSU, you are not wanting upsets in conference tournaments around the country, that's for sure.
All right, so what on the resume is LSU's biggest strength? What is the thing that potentially could knock them out?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me when I look at the resume as a whole is, you know, if you look at what they did in non-conference, and granted, I get it, like their non-conference record is really good. It's, what, 21-4, something like that. But, you know, in the non-conference series they played, and granted, almost losing a series doesn't matter. But, you know, they didn't play great on the week in a non-conference. They struggled mightily against ORU. So, I mean, you really can't point to non-conference and go, oh, that's a really overwhelming resume, because the fact of the matter is, a lot of those wins, two of them were against La Tech, so you got to account for that. But outside of that, I mean, a lot of those wins are against pretty bad teams. So I'm not sure you can really, like, point to non-conference record too much, but that would be one area I would look at and go, okay, you know, the non-conference record is solid. I think when you look at the overall RPI, that's certainly a plus. You look at the overall record, that's certainly a plus. And then, you know, I mean, I get it. 13 wins in the SEC isn't overwhelming. But, I mean, this is a really, really good league this year. And so, you know, I thought they played really well down the stretch. I think, Matt, that would be the one thing for me that differentiates maybe LSU from some of these other teams out there is they played really well. Well, I'll say really well, but they played much better down the stretch than right. They had in the middle part of the season. You know, their last three series, I thought LSU started kind of getting a little bit of a groove, you know, outside of that one game at A&M. And so, you know, they've played okay down the stretch, and that might be what gets them in.
Kendall Rogers is with us, D1 Baseball. You mentioned the RPI. There have been some that have suggested the RPI this year shouldn't count as much because not everybody's playing on a level field. Not everybody played 56. You know, Big Ten played conference only. How much, or do you know how much committee members will weigh in the RPI this year relative to normal years?
That's a great question. You know, my hope would be that they don't. And, you know, that's no disrespect to a team like LSU, which has a good RPI. But I just think in a year like this, you know, the key to the RPI is interconnectivity. And when you don't have interconnectivity in every single conference, it just kind of cheapens the RPI a little bit. So I would prefer them not to look at it that much. But, I mean, that's kind of the easiest slash laziest way to do it. I mean, those committee members don't see these teams, so they've got to go by something. So I think they're going to go by RPI for the most part. But what I would like for them to do is dig a little deeper, not necessarily go off of that. But I think what's going to happen is, you know, they're going to have to look at some of these leagues and pick and choose who they use the RPI with. For instance, the Big Ten, like, it's impossible. Like, you can't – like, it's just impossible to look at the RPI with the Big Ten because, you know, they didn't play any non-conference games. And that's going to be the case in some other leagues out there as well. The ACC, you know, people have kind of complained about Notre Dame being a potential national seed. You know, Notre Dame played, what, four or five non-conference games? So, again, on one hand, we're all like, hey, their RPI is really good. But on the other, it's kind of like, hey, how can you bang the Big Ten for not playing non-conference games when they only played, when Notre Dame only played five? So I cannot wait to see how the NCAA committee balances it. My guess is they're going to go the easy way out, but maybe not.
It certainly is an unenviable job most years, but especially this year. I mean, post-COVID, trying to figure all this stuff out. That's why we turn to guys like you to try to give us all the information that we need. So bid stealers are obviously what LSU and other bubble teams need to be on the lookout for. You tweeted about one earlier today with Canisius beating Fairfield. Fairfield's something like 35-2 this year. They've had an incredible year. But walk us through what conference tournaments we need to be looking out for where some of those potential bid stealers could lurk.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is you look at the A-Sun with Liberty. I think Liberty's a team that no matter what happens, they get in. So keep an eye on the A-Sun. I mentioned the Metro Atlantic with Fairfield losing to Canisius. Fairfield, I think, still gets in even if they lose another game in that deal. But, you know, they're also a team I could see, like, not being a slam dunk. But I would keep an eye on that. And then out west with the WCC, you got Gonzaga, who's probably a top 16 host at this point. They would have to get swept by USD this weekend and I'd be the automatic bid. But, you know, you got to keep that in mind. And then when you look at Conference USA, you really want someone other than those top four teams. You don't want someone other than those top four teams to win it. And then in the American lost yesterday to Memphis in a really surprising blowout. They bounced back today against Cincinnati. But, you know, somebody like Tulane wins that tournament, that's going to knock somebody out.
Kendall Rogers on Twitter at Kendall Rogers D1 Baseball. Just a feeling right now, based on what you've seen so far on LSU Monday, did they hear their name called?
I would say yeah, but it's going to be really close. Like I could see LSU being the last team in the field, wow, which is always fun.
Certainly optimistic that LSU is going to hear their name called on Monday, and you know my feeling on it. Postseason's just more fun when LSU's in it. I want to see them there. Of course, postseason underway right now in the NBA and the NHL. You want to bet on all of your postseason action? You can do it at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Of course, baseball season in full swing. You can bet on all 162 of your favorite MLB teams. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, MMA this weekend, virtually every weekend. You can always bet future bets, prop bets. It's safe, secure, fun, and easy. It's at betonline.ag, desktop or mobile, free to sign up. And when you do sign up and make your first deposit of funds, be sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus. That's locked on, one word, locked on, to get a 50% welcome bonus from betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Wrapping up another edition here on the Locked On LSU podcast brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. If you have not yet, please subscribe to the Locked On LSU podcast. We always appreciate that. Leave us a rating or review on iTunes. We certainly appreciate that. Helps us grow. On Monday, of course, was the premiere of Hold the Rope, the Skip Bertman documentary. And on Sunday, I had the pleasure of being at L'Auberge in Baton Rouge along with Skip Bertman and more than 500 of his closest friends, former players, who had the opportunity to watch the world premiere and participate in a great fundraiser for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Had a chance to visit with the legendary Skip Bertman and get his reaction to Hold the Rope.
I was very impressed that Mark Kinderman, the director, had probably, 4 hours. He's told he had an hour, 51 minutes, actually. Mm. And he tried to go for two, but they wouldn't let him. So he did a good job, in my opinion, of getting, my high school days. He did it all by himself. He spoke to 89 different people and, and some of them, I saw some of the footage that wasn't used on Monday when he came by the house here. And he did a real good job, I believe. He's not a baseball expert. He's never done a video with a baseball expert. I thought he did a pretty good job. Did you enjoy it?
From the opening scene with holding the rope and explaining Hold the Rope, I had chill bumps on my arms, and I loved it throughout. I was curious. And you know what else, Skip? A lot of that stuff, I didn't even know, like, when they explained the book that you had, I think Cano was talking about, the book you had in detail of baseball situations. I mean, it was almost like a playbook for baseball. Do you still have that? Like, do you keep those around?
No, I'll tell you what happened. That's a great question. Everybody, you know, comes on, now they're coaching, you know, so many of those kids. If you have one of those books, so I found all the books I possibly could get. I gave them one. So I don't know. They're kind of out of print, so to speak.
Well, I got to find someone who has them and then actually put it into circulation. Coach, we could sell those. That would be great. I'll be your agent. We'll make it happen.
Nah.
All right.
I'll tell you what, the book was fun. Saw, as you know, there were a lot of former players, mm-hmm. and that was nice for me. You know, to see a lot of the kids. I get a lot of texts and emails and calls from other players and other people that said they enjoyed it. So far, you know, pretty good. I also want to, as you know, Ronnie Rance from the Louisiana State Hall of Fame, who got any of the money that was auctioned off and whatever he didn't have to spend for the charity. I thought he did a great job, and the mm-hmm. Bengal Bells, particularly, you know, the top people did a great job of setting it up. I thought it was really nice for my birthday on a Sunday night, which was a real day for my 83rd birthday. So I was very excited for that. I thought the people did a good job. And the casino did a good job with the food and the drinks, and everybody had a good time. Matt, nobody left. I thought that was really a nice thing. People stayed, did the extra 20 minutes by Mark Kinderman, which I thought he put together was very nice. And Ronnie Rance, of course, did a great job of keeping it on target. So it was real nice. I just showed up. It was really nice.
Coach, I would have all week I've been calling you Slip Bertram as well. I had no idea.
Yeah.
You told the story about Mickey Mantle calling you Slip Bertram. That was one of the great things about that night. So, you know, when you follow and cover LSU baseball for so long, you feel like you've heard everything. But that was the great part about that night. There was so much that I didn't know. But I'm curious. You did mention that Mark came to your house and showed you some more footage. Was there anything that didn't make it in that you thought, like I wish that could have made it in?
Well, it's a great question. But you got to remember, he spoke, say Paul Byrd, who you saw, and most of the people like Luis Garcia that you saw mm-hmm. in the documentary, some of the people he spoke to for, you know, an hour, see, and some of the things he showed me, yeah, they said some nice things, so it could have been nice, but he kept his format of holding on to the rope, of me being a good motivator, of the kids being touched, you know, over the course of the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, and which was really, you know, good for me and nice for the kids. So I'm very excited about it, and I don't think there was too much that he could have put in that he didn't have.
Skip Bertram's with us for a couple of more minutes. Hold the Rope, of course, debuted on Monday. If you haven't seen it yet, you can see it on the SEC Network or any of the ESPN streaming platforms. The other thing that blew me away was how many photos and pictures and interviews that he had with your Miami Beach high school teams.
Yes.
Were you aware, or how much of that was yours? How much of that did he have to go dig up?
No, I'll tell you, Matt. No. He had a budget. You know, and he said, I got to talk to Mike Martin or Gene Stevenson or those guys from Miami. And I said, my God, I don't know where they are. You know, those Mike Gasperzak or Danny Smith or other people from Miami. And he said, well, I'll take care. And he found all those people. And when the kids from Beach High, when he spoke to one, he asked for another name. And then he went there and then asked for another name. He did pretty much on his own, traveled quite a bit, and paid an awful lot of money for the rights to use that World Series footage did ESPN. You know, they had to pay some rights fees. And I thought he did a real good job. He was all by himself except for camera people. And I thought that was a pretty big job.
You know, over the span of your career where, you know, for everyone who watched you here at LSU, I'm sure people at Miami would say the same, not only as a coach, but also as an athletic director, you accomplished seemingly everything. I mean, you won titles and you ran an amazing athletic department and all everything that was in the brochure. When you look back at your career, is there anything you look back at and say, I wish I would have blank, or if only I could have blank? Is there any of that from your career at all?
I'll tell you what. No, not really. I pretty much like Nick Saban. Not to use a famous guy, but when he was asked about what it feels like to have the 7 national championships, be the only guy, and he said, and they asked him, "What do you think about it?" He said, "I thought about the other two that got away." And you know, I the only thing I think often is how I screwed it up in '89 at the World Series. I could have done something. Maybe two others where I could have said something that I could have done, I think, you know, and I didn't do it. The decision wasn't made fast enough or it wasn't correct. We had some great athletes, as you know, everybody knows. And, you know, to win out there is very special, of course. And people can see today how hard it is to win, how fortunate you have to be, you know, as a team, and how many good players you have to have. But, yeah, I look back at some of the things and second-guess some of my own decisions. Otherwise, I'm pretty much happy with the way it went.
If you have not yet gotten to see the documentary, do yourself a favor and find it on any of the ESPN platforms. Watch Hold the Rope. It is an incredible testament and story of how Skip Bertman built the preeminent power in college baseball. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast, brought to you by Rock Auto. Remember, Locked On Today podcast, who has been the best player in the NBA playoffs so far? Get that conversation and more of the sports you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, Locked On LSU, your team every day.